go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running for this, Friday the 13th edition. Nope, sorry, I don't buy into that silliness. This Friday the 13th of July, 2018 edition of The Horn. Yes, it's been a lovely day here in almost level West by Cold Trump, Virginia Stan, Appalachia Stan. In high summer is a wonderful, green, and lively place. Yes. And we come to the end of this second full broadcast week. It is the second full broadcast week of July. And we've got a bit of fundraising to do to finish things off and get even at about the halfway point. I mean, the true halfway point is Monday. But here's where we stand. The hole is $565 deep. But there is help on the horizon. Yes. First, we have the continuation of Darlene in Connecticut's challenge from last night. Second, we have another $100 challenge, courtesy of Chris in Germany. And thirdly, courtesy of our lone subscribers on the 13th of the month, namely Gary and Gaia, out in Oregon. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Gaia. Thank you very kindly. We have another challenge. And let me explain the particulars of that. Well, here's how it goes. Here's the note that I got from Gary and Gaia. As you've noted, Bob, we're the only subscriber on the 13th, so I'm thinking about a challenge. Assuming that the horn is still in the hole, I'm behind on podcasts, and we are, I'm offering a $50 challenge. It's the Friday the 13th Lonely Subscriber I've Upped My Contribution, Now Up Yours Challenge. New subscription challenge. That's... That's Now Up Yours. Sorry, I've laughed every time I've read... Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I've laughed every time I've read that. For each new subscriber, Gary will and Guy will give a one-time match for the dollar amount of the new subscriptions up to $50. In other words, if there's two new $10 subscribers and a $5 subscription during the broadcast, Gary would kick in $25, so on and so forth, up to $50. On the other hand, Gary mentions, Gary and Guy, if the situation is too dire for this approach, we'll just call it a $50 challenge. Maybe we'll call it the Friday the 13th Lonely Subscribers Cough It Up Challenge. Signed, Gary and Gaia from Oregon. Well, the situation is not undire. So, I guess we'll take the second option. But I sure like the first title. That was a dandy. So we have the Friday the 13th Lonely Subscribers Cough It Up Challenge. Because we've got only one subscriber on the 13th of the month. Now, if we could get, if we could get five new subscribers, and Gary and Gaia would then double that new subscriber's first month's subscription, that would be awesome. Because it would be nice to have more than one subscriber on the 13th of the month. On the other hand, at 565 in the hole. In the hole, you know, anything counts. So there's $200 in doubling challenges on the table. That though, if those are met, that would knock down $400. That would leave only $165 to go. And if Gary and Gaia's challenge, the Friday the 13th Lonely Subscribers Cough It Up challenge, is met, that would leave only $65. And a $65 hole we can manage come Monday. A $765 hole, not so much. So there's where it stands. Challenges courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut and Chris in Germany. And the Friday the 13th Lonely Subscribers Challenge, Cough It Up Challenge, courtesy of Gary and Gaia in Oregon. I cannot express, thankfully enough, the challenges, my appreciation on behalf of the entire community for these challenges. A chance to double the effect of your contributory dollar. Your donor dollar. So please don't let it blow by. Don't let it just wither on the vine. Because it makes a tremendous difference in being able to keep this whole thing going. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Agnes dismissed the pool attendant and the masseur a long time ago. They repoed the Gulfstream 5. General Steele came and got the building and for the hangar, and golly, those lumber people came and liquidated our South Pacific harvested hardwood floors. So we're just trying to pay bills. No bucket pudding, no bucket coffee, no nutritional supplements. No neuro-linguistic, holistic, heuristic programming. And now, Brother Deacon Asa has advised me, there's a new hustle on the horizon, and this is a beauty. I'll bet you this bastard's going to make a fortune. Yes. Never mind the super beats. Never mind the neuro-linguistic programming. No, there's a doctor out there now, a California doctor, who is selling MP3 files, wait for it, as a homeopathic cure for, that's right, Ebola, you betcha. Because, you know, the Ebola's running rampant there in California, and by listening to some MP3 files, you can be cured of your latent Ebola virus. This doc is gonna go far. I mean, that is some fine first-rate restaurant quality capitalist hucksterism right there. And, well, we don't have that either. I don't know, maybe, I mean, we make audio here, we make recordings. Maybe we could say that the horn is, listening to MP3s of the horn is a cure for, I don't know, impetigo or scrofula or the phantods. That's it, the phantods. Now, with homeopathic recordings from the horn, you too can be relieved of any fears you may have of being beset by the phantods. Yeah. That's some real genius is what that is. And I'm proud to say that we are hot, live, and true on both of the streaming platforms, both at HeadOn.live and on the White Rose Society stream. So that means the technology is working. And program note. The program will be somewhat short this evening. It's truncated because I have to shut down at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time to get everything turned around and rebooted and ready to roll. Because at 9 p.m. I will be I'll be filling in for Mike there at Progressive Voices. Okay, and I'm looking forward to that. I always do. I don't get to do a lot of Fridays over at the Malloy Joint. And I always enjoy playing the Friday intro music and the Friday outro music. Mm-hmm. So there we go. If you want to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, we're going to be going to it fairly quickly. If you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch and you'd like to, just get on Skype and send a contact to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunk, Sparky Dunk, and we'll get the conversation rolling merrily along in short order, okay? And with any luck at all, at some point, when we crawl out of the hole and stuff, I'm going to try to add, we're going to go back to the... We're going to try to fire up the stress line again and see if we can get the little gizmo box to work a little better than it previously has. I'll zero everything out and re-engineer it, although I'm no engineer. I don't even have those striped overalls and funny hat that you have to wear when you're an engineer. No. Well, okay. I don't have the spirit for it, but apparently Brother Deacon Asa does. We may have to start offering to cure something with the Horn MP3s. Brother Deacon Asa says, listening to MP3s of the Horn can cure TBS, Trumpansy Brain Syndrome. Wait, says Brother Deacon Asa, you can't fix stupid. Yeah, but hold on, Brother Deacon Asa, hold on. It's not like those MP3s are going to cure any Ebola either. It doesn't have to work. It's not like the paleo chocolate chicken bone malted drinky beverage. It does anything either, aside from maybe turn your mouth inside out. I mean, those beets aren't doing diddly. It doesn't have to work. That's the beauty of nutritional supplements. Doesn't have to be any science, no. But we got to come up with something. It's got to spell something. TBS it sounds like it's going to keep you from tuning in a particular channel on your cable box. I think we got to come up with something besides TBS. We might get sued by TBS. You don't get sued by TBS. Ron and Raleigh asking early in the program here. Did that Cali Sawbones swear the hypocritical oath? Twice! Minor cowbell for hypocritical oath. Absolutely. So we're off and running this evening. Lee in New York says, didn't you watch Star Trek? Engineers wear red shirts. Yeah, but we're not into the Star Trek part of the future yet. I maintain we're still in the gray and white striped overalls and funny looking hat part of the past. God knows we're going backwards right now. So, you say potato, I say potato. You say potato, I say tomato. You get the idea. But here in a couple of minutes, we'll be firing up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable again. If you've never tried it before, it's mighty good fun. And you're welcome to jump in. So let's do that, because we don't have a lot of time for fooling around this evening. Shilly-shallying and whatnot. Hopefully people will, hopefully the community will respond to the $250 worth of challenges on the table. That's not a wait around kind of thing, because again, we only got an hour and 45 minutes in the program. I apologize wholeheartedly for having to run this program on contributions. If I was George Soros, it'd be different. Or if George Soros was helping out, we probably wouldn't. But he isn't. Much like Santa Claus, his powers are much talked about, but little witnessed. Know what I mean? Yeah. I understand completely. Bob, I am not going to let you take away my desire to close my eyes and imagine that I am in a better future. Imagine away. And you know what? Imagine us all into it, too, if you don't mind. We'll just bogart on your imagination, Lee, and take us all away. Calgon, take us away. My husband, some hotshot. Here's it. Right. So let's see what's going on with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob. Caught me raiding the refrigerator.
You're raiding the fridge?
Well, yeah. Getting something. But anyway, I'm out in the cave.
Oh, okay.
We got to break in the heat.
Oh, yay.
For a day. It's been 100 every day most of the week or more. And it's only like 86 degrees today.
It's 88 here outside right now. But it's a cool, comfortable 80 here inside the Fabulous Horn Studios, so... naked radio is in effect. Not that you wanted to know that, but I assumed it was sort of taken as a given. That's why there's no video here. There would probably be like UN resolutions against the program if I turned on the camera. The horror. So I just heard the top pop on something. Is that a magnificent malted beverage?
Well, in my opinion, it's a beverage.
Okay, I just didn't know if that was...
I got to tell you, the Fabulous Man Cave sign really looks good today.
Oh, I'll bet it does.
I got the lights off, so just the Man Cave sign. And you've seen that picture. It's right over my computer station.
Yeah, and just for background, this is how much fun we have inside this community. Sparky now has a Man Cave sign in the Man Cave, courtesy of Steve from Georgistan, who was just sitting around there in the foothills of the North Georgia mountains thinking, and we do this. We think about each other because we've been friends for a very long time. And Steve was just sitting there thinking, you know what Sparky needs? A man cave sign. And the next thing you know, Sparky's got a man cave sign hanging in the man cave. No, the reason I asked if that was you opening a fabulous malted beverage, Sparky, is I wasn't sure if it was you or if it was Steve opening a Bud Light.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, there we go again.
Mules tonight, Bob. I'm moving up.
Say what tonight?
Tennessee Mule.
What in the hell is that?
Jack Daniels and ginger beer.
Okay. Yes. I understand that. Tennessee Mule.
Yeah, and ginger beer, it's a non-alcoholic beverage. It's just like ginger ale, but it has more of a gingery bite to it.
Yeah, it's got a better ginger kick. And you know what? If you look online, I found a recipe for homemade ginger beer.
Nice.
And you can make it as kicky as you want it to be.
And you can always put a twist of lemon in it. I mean, you can experiment around with these things. And you can make a Canadian mule, too, which is Crown Royal. They're all good.
Oh, there's all kinds of mules out there. There's a
there's a
particular favorite of mine, the gin mule.
Nice.
You want to talk about something crisp and clean and astringent and refreshing on like an 88-degree day, you know, assuming you had a pancreas that would let you drink liquor and stuff like that. But I don't,
understood.
So... I don't, so mostly I live vicariously through you guys. I also drink vicariously through you guys.
Can I tell you why I brought up Crown Royal?
Absolutely.
The box with the Man Cave sign came in.
Yes.
The packing material was Crown Royal bags.
Oh, I can't imagine. Steve, you wouldn't have to have a few of those laying around now, would you?
I've had a drawer for that I've been collecting for the last 20-plus years, and Karen said, enough. You've got to get rid of these things. And I put two and two together. I said, well, this would make excellent packing material. And it would be funny, too. I just see old Duncan now ripping through all these Crown Royal bags. It must have been 100 of them, saying, what did he send me, Crown Royal bags? I mean...
Where's the?
That's what I told you back at first. He thought I threw away the sign.
Yeah, he did.
Wait! You threw away the sign?
No, Steve thought that because I said, oh, "Hey, thanks for the Crown Royal bags." You know,
yeah, and I got in touch with him and I said, "Man, you didn't throw away the sign, did you?" I said, "I'm beneath all those hundreds of Crown Royal bags. There was an actual sign, so." And he was pulling my leg. He got me once again. You know, I was the brunt of a joke, but I understand.
Tell him how you came by the sign.
I like to bowl, and one of the prizes they gave you tickets, and then you go to this prize counter, and you can cash your tickets in for various signs. And there's this beautiful Man Cave sign. I got to get that for Duncan, and I was still like 500 shorts. Take it short, and Karen said, well, I'm good at this claw machine out in front in the arcade. You're all striving for the same goal. And she went and won the additional 500 tickets out of the claw machine.
That's just, you know what? That's just a beautiful story. That's a beautiful story of the Horn community. That's awesome, Steve.
We stick together, Bob. We have to. I mean, what else do we have other than each other?
Well, I mean, you know the line. You want me to say it or shall you?
No, go ahead. You got
it. All we got in common is our misery. The least we can do is share it.
Take care of each other, you know. It's like Tara always says, if we stick together, maybe we'll win.
Yeah, exactly. And, hey, that's a little reminder there. I'll be joining Tara in conversation on Tara Busters.
Tomorrow?
Tara Buster. Yes, tomorrow.
Awesome. Well, she's got a two-hour show now. Well, that's something to put on the calendar.
Yep.
If anybody hasn't heard that, it's a great show. And I'm not just saying this to be patronizing. I've been a fan of hers going back for a long time now.
Oh, everybody knows that I just worship the air that Tara breathes. I mean, she's
got natural talent. I'll put her up there at Randy. You know, I know people don't want to hear that because that's saying a mouthful, but I would put her up there. She has the potential to be at that level.
I agree wholeheartedly. So, you know, every time we get together, in a broadcast situation, we wind up having a blast, and I think we managed to push back the Trumpian darkness a little bit. So
the Trump tears, yeah.
So tomorrow's plan.
That is awesome.
My buddy's up in the meat department at the Wiggling Pig. Cut me a break on a pork butt. You really, pork butt at 89 cents a pound.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So there will be pork butt smoking tomorrow. And,
oh man, I wish I lived closer, man.
Yeah, I gotta say. I have such a strong urge for this, but it'll never come to fruition. There's an empty, out of business burger joint over in Oak Hill. Kitchen's in, all the inspection stuff is ready to go.
Got a hood and everything?
Everything.
Oh, man. There's your calling, man.
It's an old gas station that got repurposed into a burger joint, but it just couldn't make it.
You could broadcast out of that too, man.
You're damn right. Perfect. You're damn right.
Man, put up vid cams. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if I ever hit the lottery, we're going to make that happen. I'll be Steve Soros, man, and we'll make it happen.
Steve Soros, man. You know. Steve Soros from Georgistan.
From Georgistan.
Or wait. We could work in a Game of Thrones angle. Steve Soros from Georgia Rose or Georgia Stanaros.
I'm going to propel you. I'm going to propel Tara and all these little heard progressive voices that need to be heard. Well, I'm going to make it happen. That's my dream. But, you know, it's a pipe dream. How am I going to hit the lottery? By playing it. If you don't play, you don't win. So
it's the old story about the guy who walked around saying, God, please help me win the lottery. I've got so many bills. Oh, God, I need to win the lottery. And all of a sudden, this big booming voice comes down from the sky and says, meet me halfway. Buy a ticket, dumbass.
Oh, that's a great story, but I'm there. But I don't want to monopolize the time.
Look, this is just us carrying on and having fun.
You got to blow off some steam. And this Trump shit will drive you absolutely nuts. The Washington Journal's reason why they put it on this, the Congress put on this dog and pony show yesterday, this kangaroo court. We can get into that if you want to. They see the handwriting on the wall. There's another shoe about to drop.
It may have dropped today. I don't know if you were paying attention.
You think that's the extent of it?
Well, no. I mean, but that was a hell of a shoe.
Right.
The indictments that Robert Mueller secured were, well, interesting, to say the least. First of all, we've got the fact that, well, it was disclosed that at least one congressional candidate, and we don't have a lot of accompanying data, but one congressional candidate sought help from the Russians. An unnamed congressional candidate explicitly reached out to the Russian hackers seeking damaging information about his or her political opponent. Inside the indictment, it reads as follows. The conspirators, posing as Guccifer 2.0, Guccifer, who knows, it's a made-up word, received a request for stolen documents from a candidate for the U.S. Congress. The conspirators responded using the Guccifer 2.0 persona and sent the candidate stolen documents related to the candidate's opponent. Now, that request went out 3 weeks after Donald Trump publicly asked Russia to hack Hillary Clinton. Oh, and by the way, while we're at it, the first Russian attempt to hack emails came the day after Donald Trump made that request. How much more information do we need? I keep asking that question. How much more do we need in order to know that Donald Trump is a Russian agent, an asset of the Russian so-called Federation? Since we're putting two and two together and adding 12 and carrying five and coming up with 32,000 telephone poles an hour, let's add this in. The National Rifle Association, in order to dummy up its attempts to keep the Congress thoroughly bought, they created a shell company, or a shell company was created, and the NRA gave that shell company $19 million in order to elect NRA-friendly Republicans. One of those Republicans that they shelled out a lot of money on was Arkansas's very own bobble-throated Tom Cotton. They also kicked in for Thom Tillis in North Carolina Stan and Cory Gardner in Colorado. The company was called Starboard Strategic, you know, starboard meaning in sailing terms to the right, right? Yeah, huh? Starboard Strategic had never been heard from before. They had no history. They were a cipher. Nothing. Not even a blip on the radar. And then, boom, they got $19 million to get Thom Tillis and Cory Gardner and Tom Cotton reelected or elected. And the whole thing could be found over at Politico, the National, and remember, the National Rifle Association got tons of money from the National, from the Russians. That's why I call it the National Ruble Association. So Russian money in whole or to some degree or another went to support the campaigns of Tom Cotton, Thom Tillis, and Cory Gardner. And I ask again, how much more evidence do we need?
They probably bought a whole bunch of Congress critters.
Oh, I'd say based on yesterday's behavior that they probably got them. I don't know. What district, Steve, what district does that Gosar goon represent down there in Georgia, Stan?
I don't know, Bob. It must not be anywhere near me or.
Well, but we
I could Google it for you.
Well, that's okay. But, well, we do know that being a dentist, he is an expert in body language.
Oh, yeah. Like your dentist. Oh, yeah. He can read you a mile away.
Hi. I'm Bob Kincaid, internet radio host. As an internet radio host, I can tell you I am an expert in body language. I mean, if a dentist, when you have that little marathon man moment, you know, is it safe? And you with the nerve, and the guy goes, "Whoa!" You know, that's being an expert in reading body language. I will not touch this tooth. The nerve is dead. We want to work with a nice healthy tooth.
I had this high-spinning drill, and I'm about to drill a quarter of an inch into your face. Are you scared? Oh, you are. I could tell by reading your body language.
Exactly. Yeah, see? Steve knows how it works. Hey, I've got some good news. I just had a note from our buddy Tom out in the Bay Area. Fill that hole, meet those challenges, miracle on the front porch. Listening to yesterday's program, Tom writes, I couldn't help but imagine this headline when you were talking about the emailing creep. LibTalker takes control of internet, prevents trolls from turning off audio. Yeah, I know. Tom says, I just put $100 in the mail. Sure would like some company. And so let's say that Darlene's challenge has been met. That leaves Chris's challenge in Germany. And then Gary and Gaia's lonely 13th of the month subscriber cough it up challenge. All right, so that's a good start, and we've got an hour and a half or so to finish filling that hole in. And Tom in the Bay Area would like very much to have some company. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, isn't that? I'm excited. Let me share a couple of emails.
Sure.
Steve in New York says, sought help from the Russians. My bet is it's either one of the following whose names rhyme with Hannes Norabacher or Revan Dunez. Revan Dunez or Hannes Norabacher. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But the thing is, there's all kinds of them out there. The entire, it would appear based on what happened yesterday, there's a lot of them compromised. I mean, Jesus God. Our buddy Texas T said, "Oh, you gotta play the Louis Gohmert audio." And I looked, but I was looking on the fly, and I couldn't for the life of me find it. But let's revisit yesterday, just because this, you know, I'll haul out the reverb for this, you know, because great moments in Republican governance. Okay. So we've got Louis King Crablegs Gohmert doing battle with Peter Strzok in a battle of wits in which Strzok has shown up appropriately armed, and well, Louis's got all Louis's got is one of those little multicolored hats with the propeller on the top of beanie. He's got a propeller beanie going, and not much else. Let's check in yesterday with Louis King Crablegs Gohmert.
Testimony you gave, and I told some of the other guys, he is really good. He's lying. He knows. We know he's lying, and he could probably pass a polygraph.
Point.
It's amazing.
Mr. Chairman.
No, this is my
Mr.
time.
Mr. Chairman.
Hold on. It's his time. But if you ever wanted proof that these sorts of things do not run like courtroom hearings or examinations of witnesses in courtrooms, this is it. Because, and I'll defer to, say, Billable Rick or to Steve in New York. As a lawyer cross-examining a witness, you can't walk up and say, he's lying, and then turn around and look at the jury and say, he's a lion. There are actually finessey kind of rules that go with that, so that you have to say things like, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you're here to test the credibility of the witnesses. And when a witness gives contradicting testimony, you are free to make your own reach your own conclusions about the truthfulness of that witness. But you can't go, he's a fucking liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You can't do that.
That's right.
Yeah, that is right. That is right. Thank you, Rick. So
hey, I had some billable activities I was dealing with, so I just got off the phone.
No worries. Let's get a little more of the clip in.
Paused.
This point of order.
No.
The general state is point of order.
A member of this committee just asserted that this witness, who is under oath and a former agent of the FBI, lied. There is no evidence that I ask him to withdraw it.
I do not withdraw it. He is not a member of Congress. It's not a violation of the rule. And just as you have been expressing bias through your members about what a hero
there is not a single person on this committee who has ever characterized a witness.
Gentleman from Rhode Island. Gentlemen,
it's my time.
That's a disgrace.
Gentleman from Rhode Island will suspend.
No, the disgrace is what this man has done.
The gentleman from Texas will suspend for a moment.
There is the disgrace. And it won't be recaptured anytime soon because of the damage you've done to the justice system. And I've talked to FBI agents around the country. You've embarrassed them. You've embarrassed yourself. And I can't help but wonder, when I see you looking there with a little smirk, how many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eye and lie to her about Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, this is outrageous.
Shame on you,
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, please.
Mr. Chairman, this is an intolerable harassment of the witness.
What is wrong with that? You need your medication.
The judge
score! Wait a minute. Wait. Goal! Yeah.
Hey. You know, Bob, I think somebody should have asked good old Louis, Representative Gohmert, when did you stop beating your wife? You know?
Yeah, exactly. No, better yet, since he's from Texas, you use the LBJ line. Representative Gohmert, when did you stop having sex with farm animals?
There you go.
It may be apocryphal, but
the fucker's lying. He hasn't talked to a bunch of FBI agents all around the country.
Of course he has, Sparky. He's talked to FBI agents all around the country that exist only in his head.
I forgot he hears voices.
Absolutely. And once again, he and Steve King are the ones who most make me want to do this, but... once again, he makes me want to put together one of those expeditions into the far wildernesses of America, sort of like Napoleon Chagnon wandering around in the jungles of Venezuela until he ran into the Yanomamo people. I want to put together an expedition to walk into the first district of Texas, the first congressional district of Texas, and just meet the wild-eyed maniacs who every 2 years go to the polls and send this stupid little prick back to Congress. And I do mean little prick. I mean, really, I mean, have they got babies' arms growing out of their heads? Have they got eyeballs on their kneecaps? Is 1 foot backwards? I mean, what kind of strange agents from a foreign planet live in the first congressional district of Texas that this pathetic twerp gets to disgrace the idea of representative government? I mean, if it's representative government, what the fuck does Louis Gohmert represent? I mean, are we talking about people who eat their mesquite smoky barbecued brisket with their goddamn elbows? I take for granted the fact that they pick their teeth with their toenail clippings, but Jesus Christ, holy mackerel! I mean, what a yeah, sorry, I got away from you there for a minute. All better now.
Maybe a district where nobody runs against him or something. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, surely to goodness they... I know, don't call me Shirley. But... I mean, it would be a worthy research project for the sort of ad hoc Horn Family Community Congregation Research Department to find out, for instance, like, how many voters are there in the first congressional district of Texas? And what are Louis Gohmert's margins of victory? And how many people turn out to vote for him? I mean, if it's like 12, then I understand that there's 12 idiots in Texas in the first congressional district who send, you know, and that's probably Louis's family who send him to Congress. But if it's measured in thousands, no, we need that expedition down there just to, you know, sort of sit back in the bush and with the binoculars and I don't make any sudden moves. They spook easily. You know, sort of do the whole Steve Irwin thing.
I was hoping John would join us today, but...
No, he does. He does a show on Friday, so he may be a little tied up yet, especially with us going early.
We acknowledge my message anyway.
Let's see here. A note coming from Steve in New York. Now I'm being serious. Based upon how you just broke it down, it strikes me that Mueller is basically leading us down the primrose path to the door of Trump and the GOP itself. Well, yeah, because one of the things that's in there is something that makes it pretty readily apparent that Ajere Onstay has Iptflay on Umptray. I say that in code to make sure that the little maggots can't understand what we just said, but people with fully functioning brains just did. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a reference to a seedy journalist, and I can't help but wondering if that was Glenn Greenwald. Seedy is my word. But, yeah. Note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. What's sad? The sad thing is that Louis' constituents think that old Louis got the best of that uppity elitist FBI agent. Oh, I have no doubt of that. I have no doubt whatsoever. So let's keep the conversation running. Am I on track, Billable Rick?
As far as this leading directly to the doorstep of the Trump administration, I think you are.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically,
I had a chance to run through the indictment rather quickly.
Yeah.
Did you get a look?
I've not looked at it, but I saw CNN's dissection of it, and I sort of listen to, you know, the legal analysts on CNN. They're usually very good. And, I think the if I recall, is that paragraphs 43 and 44 are key paragraphs as relates to the possible interaction of Americans with these GRU agents. That's what I recall.
Yeah.
I haven't read those paragraphs, though.
And the other thing being pointed out is these people who have been indicted are members of the Russian military.
Right.
So as such, it is Russian military action against the United States. Isn't it?
We've been attacked by a hostile foreign power.
Cyber war failure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cyber warfare
is... just war by another means. That's all it is.
Cyber warfare is warfare, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm Mr. Peace here. I don't run around trying to get wars started, but... wow.
Well, when the Japanese bombed us, we didn't want to fight, but we had to because we were attacked. Here, we were attacked by Russia, and what's happened? You know, we have a president who's now basically Putin's, lapdog, and he's getting ready for his annual performance review, you know?
Well, that's the absolute truth, and as I mentioned toward the end of the program last night, the madness in the UK, and today Julius Geezer says that he didn't say what he was recorded saying about Theresa May, and about thinking Boris Johnson would make a great prime minister. And that's why we tape these things. Well, it was already taped, dumbass.
Well.
Yeah, he thinks Ireland is part of the Great Britain.
The tape is obviously lying, Bob. Somebody doctored it, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you can call Trump speaking into a microphone doctoring a recording, well, sure. Yeah. And by the way, there are, thanks to Clarity and to Ron and Raleigh, there are 651,619 voters in the 1st Congressional District of Texas. Hoo-wee. Louis King Crablegs Gohmert won the last five elections with 68% of the vote.
Mm. Jeez.
So it really is a jungle expedition to go and see a sort of not fully researched species.
You're almost like going into the heart of darkness there. You think that Joseph frickin' Conrad wrote the book.
Well, and I think in this case it's Heart of Derpness, but yeah, I get that. Okay, so last week we had the Shiny Heiny. And I'm still not over it, and I'm still waiting for Agnes and me and Agnes' matching set to, because you know the family that Heiny Shinies together stays together. Maybe. but there was a beauty last night, and I saw it, and I couldn't resist it. We all know who Florida Man is, right? Those headlines, you know, Florida Man does this, Florida Man does that. Well, Florida Man apparently has a tractor. This is a beautiful thing. Florida Man was in a property dispute with other Florida Man. It happened last month, but it's just now hitting the news. And I'm sorry, this is just one of those things that struck me funny. Maybe my funny bone is tired at, 10 o'clock or something. But it struck me funny. They were arguing over real estate, boundary lines. I mean, people get crazy over this stuff. Your fence is 2.5 centimeters over on my property line. I'm going to have to shoot you. That's a real thing. Well, it was June the 19th when Howell Lamar Morris, aged 72, got pissed off at his neighbor, Scott Lynch, aged 53. And once he got real righteously pissed off, 72-year-old Howell Lamar Morris climbed on his tractor with the bucket scoop on the front end, raised the bucket up over top of the tractor, and put it in gear and started chasing 53-year-old Scott Lynch. And there's no shaming involved here. It's just such an American moment. Howell Lamar Morris has been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill. I don't know how you get the without intent to kill part. I guess that's maybe tractoring while white. Maybe that's how that works. But it's the John Wayne aspect of the story that makes it special. You remember in True Grit, the John Wayne version, when he starts off across that field and he yells, "Fill your hands, you son of a bitch," right? And he's got the reins in his teeth and a rifle in one hand and a pistol in the other, and he's shooting his ammunition into the air like a dumbass. Well, something like that happened when Florida man got on his tractor. He puts it in gear and gets rolling and starts chasing 53-year-old Scott Lynch. And Florida man, Howell Lamar Morris, age 72 of St. Augustine, then yells, "Run, fat ass!" And I just read that and shared it with Agnes, and Agnes started giggling ridiculously. And then there's the 911 audio in which Mrs. Lynch is on the phone talking to 911 dispatch and said, "He chased him down on his tractor and my husband had to run, yes!" So, Howell Lamar Morris is out on $2,500, but that's all you get for trying to run over somebody with your tractor there in St. Augustine in Florida. $2,500 bond. Run, fat ass!
Jeez.
I mean, because it just brings to mind, you know, the trial of the case. And Mr. Lynch, can you repeat for us what the defendant said? Well, yeah, he said, "Run, fat ass!" I'm sorry, that was just that.
The humidity that makes people crazy in Florida,
well,
Bob.
As our dear friend said several years ago in his eponymous song, "Alabama Jesus," it's not the heat, it's the stupidity. Yes. So, Florida man. I just had to share Florida man, because there's Florida man gets up to all kinds of stuff.
Hey, speaking of heat, Clarity just posted a screenshot of 106 degree temperature in his neck of the woods in Oregon.
Her.
Yeah.
Her neck of the woods.
Ah, sorry.
Yeah. Just, yeah, 100, yeah, because that happens, 106 degrees in Oregon. Well, that's the far onion growing Oregon desert, so maybe you get some 106 degrees. I mean,
Eastern Oregon, yeah.
It's watermelon time, baby. It's watermelon time.
Remember, they taste best when stolen.
You know, if I could haul one on the back of my bicycle, I would, but I'm afraid that it'd probably get burst before I get home.
So, you know, do they grow them up there?
Oh, tons of them, yeah.
See, the things you learn on this program. I had no idea that the Eastern Oregon Desert was watermelon country. I thought it was all about the onions.
No, that's the latest trend around here. You know that they're growing, there's a market for it, and export and domestic. But no, watermelons, they really, they had a guy worked at the Extension Service about 25 years ago. He moved up from Florida, and he told the farmers to start their plants inside and then, you know, plant them instead of starting from seed. And that gives us about a week to 10 days head start. And at first the farmers resisted it, but when
the farmers always do. Well, my pappy didn't do it that way.
And the guy should have a statue or something around town to what he did for, you know, our watermelon thing here. But yeah, there's a big watermelon on our water tower coming into town. And
the watermelon that changed Eastern Oregon.
I just wanted to throw this in, the 4M cocktail. Muller, Moscow, Manafort, Mule. It's got Stoli, sour apple, schnapps, and grappa.
Aren't we missing an ingredient? I mean, if there's 4 M's, we need 4 ingredients, don't we?
Oh, I was just going for the M's. Well, you know, Kahlua is not really.
Well, we can add ginger beer to make it Moscow. I mean, because ginger beer is what makes it a Tennessee Mule. What Steve from Georgia stands imbibing.
That's right.
Moment.
That's right. And there's lots of redheads in Russia.
There we go. So yeah. ginger beer, redheads. Well, but somewhere but out the there other... in the Horn Family Community Congregation, somebody's going to try that.
But anyway, I guess when his prison book comes out, we'll find out why he changed his part since he went into general population. He's parting from the other side. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, everything could have been good if he hadn't run his mouth about his special treatment. But it's pretty disgusting, really. He had
civilian clothes.
He had civilian clothes. And he had his own VIP cell. And he had his own phone line. Jesus. Unlimited resources. And he bragged about having VIP treatment and access to all my files like I would at home. And made over more than 300 calls on his cell phone, his own private cell phone. He did a workaround on the email ban at the jail. Let me know the next time somebody who isn't Paul Manafort gets that treatment.
Well, I noticed today that Cohen, somebody floated him a $3 million mortgage to buy a $6.7 million Trump property, or, you know, people related with Trump. So obviously his legal bills aren't that high, you know, defense bills, or he's expecting an annuity, you know, so to speak, to come in for, you know, previous things that he's invested in, you might say, well, you know, some shady money laundering, you know, fees that probably haven't still been paid yet. But follow the money.
And IOKIYAR.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a fun one. I noticed this one. This story comes out of Chicago. Has to do with a judge who's been on the bench for eons. A guy named Judge Joseph Claps. We'll resist the urge to make the expected jokes, but no. There's a Leighton Criminal Court Building, or maybe it's Leighton, L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N, in Chicago. Leighton Criminal Court Building. And he's a judge there. And the only people in the Leighton Criminal Court Building who are allowed to carry freedom protectors are law enforcement personnel. Well, one day, Judge Claps was a wandering in, just going to work there at the Layton Criminal Court building, going to go and pass judgment on some violators of the law. Remember, it's illegal to carry a gun into the Layton Criminal Court building unless you're a cop. And Judge Claps has his sport coat draped over his arm and goes walking through the door into the building. And then, oopsie, his freedom protector falls out of his coat jacket pocket and lands on the floor. And he just sort of kind of quietly reaches down and picks up the pistol and sticks it in his pants pocket and goes about his business. This is, of course, howlingly illegal. And he's since been charged with a Class B misdemeanor offense of carrying a concealed weapon in a prohibited area. He was released on his own recognizance, didn't even have to post bail, and will appear in court sometime next week to, I guess, enter a plea. Now, to be fair, he's got a firearm owner's identification card, which, of course, the National Ruble Association says that destroys freedom for all of us. And he's also got a concealed carry permit. But it's still illegal to carry a gun into the courthouse unless you're a cop. At no point in time did they take him into custody, arrest him, handcuff him, anything like that. No, hell no. 15 years he's sat in judgment of other people on the criminal division there in Chicago. 70 years old. This does not inspire confidence in the judiciary, at least not on my part. As Steve in New York points out, Judge Claps, Steve couldn't resist. I did resist. Steve can't. We're having the Claps tonight. College nickname, Old Clappy.
Who are you going out with tonight? Well, I've got a date with... Really? Him? You know what his nickname is? No? Old Clappy. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Jack in Shreveport.
That could lead,
go ahead.
That could lead to a doctor's office. That could lead to a doctor's visit right there, Bob.
Well, it does. About 1 million units of penicillin, I'm told, John.
Yeah, that's what I hear. That's what I hear. Not that I have any experience with
no,
that.
No, no, hell no, no, of course not. John Britovo is with us. Hey, John, can I ask you a Texas anthropology question?
Oh, hell yes. Go ahead. I hope it's not about any idiots that we have as congressmen down here in Texas that may have shown their ass here recently.
Well, I'm sorry, but it is.
Yeah, figured. What's going on, Bob?
I'm informed that there are some 600,000 voters in the 1st Congressional District of Texas, if I understand correctly, that's up around like Arlington, Fort Worth, somewhere around there.
And we are hoping not all of them are ignorant.
Well, see, here's the problem. The last five times that Louis King Crablegs Asparagus Gohmert has run for election there, he's won with something on the order of 68% of the vote.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He came in with the Tea Party. He's a freedom flag waving, Bible thumping, vote for me, Southern Baptist, goes to the Green Acres Baptist Church. What more American can you get than that, Bob?
Really? The Green Acres Baptist Church? I mean,
Green Acres Baptist Church.
Is their phone up on a pole?
I believe so. Come on down.
When the little old blue-haired ladies in the fellowship hall make biscuits and gravy, can you use the biscuits for doorstops?
You can use them for pucks in a hockey game.
Wikipedia says he was a judge.
Yes, he was.
On the criminal appeals division, I believe.
On today's rant today, I had to apologize to the state of Texas and everybody in the United States for that ignorant butt showing himself in the committee hearing yesterday, which was a circus, was that not, Bob?
Oh, everything. Clown cars, cotton candy, rancid hot dogs. You betcha. But here's the anthropology question. If we sent an expedition to the first congressional district of Texas, John.
Yes, sir.
What kind of wild-eyed aliens from another planet live there? Because normal human beings don't send Louis Gohmert to Congress.
No, not him. Not him. Not that. Oh. I don't know how many things.
Would the investigators return from their trip is the question, or would they be like Dr. Livingston?
Well, I mean, are there? We all remember our classic black and white sci-fi movies. Did somebody come in and just put pods under the beds of everybody in the first congressional district in Texas, or at least 68% of them?
If they do, we need to have a pod busted. I'm telling you, his little ass showing yesterday, just demonstrates. It's all about. Showmanship for him. That's all it is. I'm trying to remember. I have something written down in my book, and it's out there in the living room about him. And I can't remember what it was. It was some little article I had written. I mean, read. But there's no excuse for it. That's how come we're trying to build up this blue wave and get the people out to vote, because all them people in that district, they're not voting. That's up around Dallas. That's a pretty blue area up there, It's the same thing. That District 1 was gerrymandered again, along with the rest of them, and diluted the vote. So there's just a lot of people in Texas aren't motivated to get out and vote just because they're gerrymandered in.
The northwest part of that district, John, looks like a rhinoceros head.
Ain't it pitiful?
Yeah.
That's just like mine. My 27th district down here used to be all on the Gulf Coast because that in common. But no, they gerrymandered it, and now it's, the tip of it's all the way up there in central Texas near Bastrop. Mm. And those people up in central Texas, they don't have anything in common with the people down here on the Gulf Coast. It's a big state. There's different issues. We get hit by hurricanes a lot down here. You're not having that worry up there in Bastrop.
Up in Bastrop, they get hit by tornadoes, right?
Yeah, yes.
Or maybe fracking earthquakes.
Or fracking. There's plenty of fracking going on, let me tell you, ever since EPA Scott Pruitt, Lord have mercy, I'm glad that guy's gone, but the guy that came in ain't no better. He's just going to be more discreet about his shit, I believe.
He's going to be actually probably frighteningly competent. And
yes.
as a matter of fact, the very first time he spoke out after getting his hands on the wheel at EPA, he said, I did work for a coal company, and I'm not ashamed of the work I did for a coal company. Well, the work he did for a coal company included that coal company being fined millions upon millions of dollars for poisoning the environment in three separate states. So, he's not ashamed of poisoning people in three separate states. Good for him, I guess.
He's a chip right off of Scott Pruitt's shoulder right there. Just, they're the same people. It's business. It's not the environment. They're not there for the environment. They could give a shit less about the environment. Donnie's over there in Germany trying to sell them coal again. They shut down their coal plants.
They've actually added a letter to the EPA. It's now called the AEPA, Anti-Environmental Protection Agency.
That's about what we have now, which is a shame because, especially a lot of us in our age, we remember fighting for this crap.
It came into being during the Nixon years. Come on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's when I remind people. Y'all don't know what acid rain was. A lot of people still had their cars all messed up with that shit.
Well, from working in Steve King's district, I can tell you mostly it's just a simple asshole problem.
Steve
like Bob's been talking about for years.
Oh, that guy.
Living in asshole nation.
Yes, there's plenty of them around. Most of them have an R in front of their name in our Congress.
Laurel, what does
King, that's,
what kind of bizarre animal does Steve King's district look like?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. That might be square.
Iowa. I'm from Iowa originally, and it's not. I don't think it's gerrymandered that much. The lines are pretty straight of the district lines. I mean, there's only like what seven.
So you've just got to,
It's not gerrymandered, and they still vote for him.
Right, that's what I was saying. So it's just pure 200-proof asshole? I mean, that's it?
Well, it's the Republican Party and what they've allowed it to become. I did a little thing about a guy up in South Dakota. He's a state representative, and on his Facebook page, on his public Facebook page, he said that if business owners wanted to ban blacks and Hispanics from their business, they should have the right to do that. That's what that man said today. And that kind of crap is allowed into that Republican Party with a welcome arm.
You know, well, how many different open, unabashed, avowed Nazis are running with Republican nominations right now?
Exactly. There's plenty of them. There's a list of them. A guy up in Chicago, this guy. You know, they came out of the woodwork and they think, well, it's okay. As a matter of fact, it's damn right popular to be a white supremacist, to be an idiot. You know,
well,
they're wearing like a badge
of
honor.
Well, heck, we got an actual crazy dude in Virginia running for office that was actually propositioning for media and women being chattel.
Did anyone hear
that story?
There's
a guy that got in Virginia that got, he was in jail for threatening.
You need to mute.
Yeah, my brother's mowing the lawn every 30 seconds. He has to come in there and bitch at me because I didn't clean the yard. Well, tell me beforehand.
try again, Megan.
There's a guy running for office in Virginia that got out of jail for threatening to kill President Obama, that his 3-year-old daughter was taken from him because he's advocating for pedophilia and women being chattel.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm
really?
Not.
I got to dig that guy's name up because I want to call his ass out.
Hold on. Let me see if I can find it, and I'll put it in the chat. Hold on.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that guy. And there's another guy in Illinois who's running in a heavily Democratic seat in the, I think, in the south side of Chicago or in Chicago itself. And he's a Nazi as well. The Republican Party didn't even endorse the guy. But there were no other he had no opponents in the primary, so he won by default. He got about 20,000 votes in the primary. So that tells you that, you know, that there are a number of Nazis around, even in states like Illinois.
And they're getting votes. That's the pitiful part. They're getting votes.
Exactly.
They're getting votes because their civic education system has been gutted.
Well,
okay. We don't know crap about politics at the personal level in this country anymore. We really don't.
A lot of people run their politics off of bumper stickers. What they see on a bumper sticker. And then they'll repeat that slogan. And they think that's enough, and it's not.
Rand Paul was spewing this nonsense 3-4 years ago. I don't know if y'all remember that or not, but how restaurant owners should be able to serve who they want and who they don't want to serve.
Right.
I mean, it's nothing new.
No, but that cake thing.
It's
going to
work
as Supreme
long
Court
as
out
we saw
Cali-
how well that worked in Red Hen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. That's against a conservative. How dare you?
Yeah, that's the point.
The incivility of it all, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the guy's name is Larson. He's running in Charlottesville, Virginia. He's 37 and an accountant, raping his ex-wife in the midst of pedophilia. I put the link up in the chat.
Boy, Hattie, I'll read that. That's just, that tells you what they're accepting. What is allowable inside that party? And that's just it. Or, you know.
Well, look at how they're treating Jim Jordan. The guy has like 7 former wrestlers who now say that he was lying about not knowing that this abuse was going on by this doctor. And, you know, Ryan is supporting him still.
I want to reach through the TV and strangle him every time I see him.
I'm wore out this week. I'm telling you.
Talking about Speaker Eddie Monster.
Guy.
He's the Freedom Caucus guy.
But there's an awesome Eddie Munster story out there today.
Oh, the chipmunks.
No, woodchucks. Woodchucks.
Woodchucks.
How much woodchucks?
It occurred to me earlier today that for some reason or another, the ghost of zombie Frank Zappa, working alongside and in concert with the Goddess of Irony, has taken notice of the GOP, generally. And so now, it appears that that the GOP is turning into a series of Frank Zappa titles. You know, we had Moving to Montana a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, you know, when he went out to and did the bit with the whole business about Elton John's organ.
Yeah.
And now we've got Paul Ryan announcing to the world, "Woodchucks ate my car."
Woodchucks. Ate his car.
Ate his car. And this, of course, immediately reminded me, old DJ that I am, of "Weasels Ripped My Flesh."
No.
By Frank Zappa.
I must have missed that one.
Yep. Clarity knows. Clarity knew where I was going. Yeah.
Boy, Hattie.
So, I mean, there's some real potential out there. I mean, I started looking earlier today at Frank Zappa titles. And I think we're going to have to keep a list handy.
You see a lot coming up, do you?
I kind of do. Yeah, because he was a wordsmith, and he worked in madness.
Well, a lot of us do, don't we?
We need to make a horn Frank Zappa bingo card.
That would work.
There you go.
I'm trying to think of, Moving to Montana, Weasels Rip My Flesh.
Don't eat the yellow snow.
Don't eat the yellow snow.
Don't eat the yellow snow. That's always great advice.
And Dynamo
Don't
Hum.
Don't lay on a yellow mattress.
Dynamo Hum. We've just got to be on the lookout now because, I'm the slime.
We didn't know he was a prophet. We have a slime ball in office.
There we go.
There you go. The slime's already taken over. It's leaving a trail all over the place.
I mean, I'm looking at, the one that...
Did he have a song called the Illinois Enema Bandit, or is that just Clarity's joke?
I'm not sure, but I know that he has a song called "Why Does It Hurt When I Pee." I mean, I imagine.
I imagine
Julius Geezer sort of hums that one every morning when he runs off to the little president's room.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of reminded of the torture never stops having to live through the Trump administration. That's like, you know, par for the course there.
Well, we're not through it yet.
There's an anthem for Don Jr. and Eric. Well, Eric, I guess. It's kind of a competition, though. The idiot bastard son.
Ah, one of these things is not like the other.
there's an anthem for Stormy Daniels. Did you get any on ya?
Yeah, he did. He got it smeared all over it.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-mm-mm.
What does that tell you about America when our level of discourse and what have you has sunk to the point where, you know, things resemble Frank Zappa song titles, you know?
There's an anthem for our ambassadrix to the court or the Sea of St. Peter in Rome. You know, Callista Callista Gingrich, who was busy being bent over the table with Newt Gingrich banging away behind her while Newt was shrieking about Bill Clinton having sex with interns. She is, of course, a fornicatrix and an adulteress.
Oh, she's the ambassador to the Vatican. You forgot.
That's what I know. I said she is.
Oh.
She's the, yeah, she's the, oh, the Holy See of St. Peter. Right. And so we've got this for her. Let's check in. I mean, is that, that's Callista in a moment, right? So I think
the list is endless. Hey, Pop, where are you going with that gun in your hand? Invocation, ritual dance of the pumpkin. I mean, put
the pumpkin.
Put that,
how appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, when you and
maybe he was a prophet.
And when you think about her. Prior history, taking her clothes off for strangers in exchange for money. Maybe this is an anthem for melanoma.
I couldn't say where she's coming from, but I just met a lady named Dynamo Hum. She strolled on over, said, "Look here, bum, I got a $40 bill, say you can't make me come. You just can't do it."
And then there's the new intro music for Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. A lot of instrumental here.
Fox News.
See how well it works?
Straight from Bullshit Mountain in Rwanda.
Damn right.
Taking me back to my acid days. But
I was fixing to say, I was closing my eyes there listening.
Yeah, there's that higher plane of existence that we're all trying to reach.
Yeah, like the prophet.
Living through chemistry.
Like the prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, once said, "Get that third eye squeegeed clean."
Squeegeed clean, baby.
Only my workplace didn't test for MDMA, you know?
By the way, we've got a little over a half hour left in the program this evening because we got to knock off early because I got to cover for Aloy at 9. And as noted, $100 of the $250 of challenges that are on the table to get us close to finishing the week evening. $100 has been met by courtesy of Tom in the Bay Area. And Tom said, "I sure would like some company," in the note that he sent. So This is a chance to double your money. You kick in 10, one of these challenges will turn it into 20. You kick in 20, it'll be 40. 50 becomes 100, et cetera. So there's $150 to go in the challenges to finish up the week almost even. And then we'll just carry the $65 over to Monday.
I told you.
150's all, Bob?
150's it.
All right, let me make my own challenge here. We'll call it the SF Bonus Challenge. I just got a bonus for my trial last month in San Francisco. I'm going to throw in 25, and I'll make it 50 if somebody matches the 25.
Okay, awesome. So
outstanding.
So the Billable Rick's SF Bonus Challenge is on the table. If somebody will meet his $25, he kicks in another 25. That makes 75, and that makes halfway to finishing the challenges. That means $25 left in Chris and Germany's challenge, and then the entirety of the of Gary and Gaia's lonely subscriber on the 13th of the month cough it up challenge. It's the challenge names that makes it fun. Actually, it's the
there
challenge names that makes it challenging.
Yeah. And it's challenging coming up with those names.
Well, exactly. There's a lot of creativity here. Go ahead,
Sparkle.
Yeah.
You need to mute. I can hear your fan all the time. That's why I keep kicking you. Thank you.
Yeah, and then
Bob,
you know
music. You've been a DJ.
I have.
Do you know the name Madeline Ball? Madeline Bell, I'm sorry. Madeline Bell.
Madeline Bell. Mm-hmm. Offhand, I can't place it, and that bothers me.
I had to Google her today. She was a soul singer back in the late 60s. She came out of New Jersey and went over to England and made it real big in England. I'm sorry to say I did not know about her. I just found out about her today. I received a letter from her. And she lives in southern Spain now. And outstanding singer. I listened to some of her music off of YouTube today. I looked her up, and it was just—I just wondering if you had ever heard that name. It was—I
have not, but I will. But I have a feeling I will soon be a fan.
Look her up. She's up in age. She's retired nowadays, of course. But man, she could belt it out, baby. I'm telling you. And it just tickled to me death. One, we got a letter from Spain, and the other was well, look who it was. You know.
Yeah, no kidding.
Quite impressive. Yeah, it was quite impressive.
Now, was this actual go to the post office and pick up a letter, or was this an email?
No, this is a letter. Yeah.
Wow.
No, I have gotten letters. Yeah, I've gotten letters from Germany, England, Scotland, Spain. Yeah, we've gotten mail. If you count emails now, we got Goose Island, Antarctica. So.
Well, now.
Yeah. We've got a stretch, but I was tickled to death to get that letter.
Well, I will definitely check her out over the weekend, and especially probably after about 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Yeah. I think we got time for a concert review here.
Jump right in, Rick.
Yeah, since we started down the line of music here, I saw Dead & Company at Dodger Stadium last Saturday. I got a ticket maybe a day before. I made sure I was on the first base side, on the right field side, field seats, because I didn't want to be in the sun, because it was like forecast to be like about 90 degrees in LA at the time.
Yeah.
When I drove by Dodger Stadium to pick up on the way down to pick up my girlfriend, it was like it was 113 near Dodger Stadium. And by the time I arrived and I picked her up in Orange County and came back and arrived, and it was like probably down to like 95 at the time of the, you know, when we got there. And by the end of the night, it was like 85, but it was like incredibly hot. But it was a great show. I guess the funniest thing is I had no idea of the composition of the current Dead & Company band. There was a real good singer there, not Bob Weir. Bob Weir did a great job, of course, but there was another singer in the band, and I was like thinking, oh my God, that guy looks a lot like John Mayer, like, you know, and he sounds like him. And I found out like a few days later that it was John Mayer. I had no idea that he's in the band this year. But he's like he's singing the Jerry Garcia parts. But it was a tremendous show. It was probably about 3 hours. They took a couple of breaks, you know, like they always do. started out with playing in the band, which I guess has never opened with that before. Then they played, what is it, Bertha? They played
I love Bertha.
Song.
I love Bertha.
Yeah, yeah. And then they played Jack Straw, Big Railroad Blues, Peggy O, Ramble on Rose. That was a good one.
Ramble on Rose, yeah.
And Cumberland Blues. And then they played a song called Deal. And that was the end of the first set. And they came back like maybe 25 minutes later, 20 minutes later. And they
That's
played,
a nice set.
Yeah, they played Sugar Magnolia. Next one was Scarlet Begonias. Then they did Fire on the Mountain.
Was Bruce
they
Hornsby, just out of curiosity, was Bruce Hornsby with them?
No, I don't think so. No, I think Phil Lesh was there. There were three original members there, including Bob Weir, but he's got a great voice still. And then they did Eyes of the World. There was a long drum solo. They did a song called Space, which was really kind of freaky. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's Space is when all the people who've dropped acid just kind of chill.
Yeah, yeah. Then they did Stella Blue and Sunshine Daydream. And then for an encore, they came back and did Broke Down Palace and ended the show with the Crickets cover Not Fade Away, which was really sweet. So it was a great concert. Really enjoyed it. And then the very next day, I went to another concert down in Dana Point. The second incarnation of what the hell's the name of that band? Inagata Da Vida Baby. Oh, Iron Butterfly.
Oh my God.
Iron Butterfly.
Yeah.
Butterfly.
Yeah,
oh, Lord.
Are they cruising around on? Are they cruising around on iron walkers?
No. Actually, there are a few older members, but the funny thing is, I asked them afterwards if any of them are original members, but they're not. But they have the blessing, I guess, of the two remaining surviving members who aren't playing in the band anymore. But they sounded great. I met a, afterwards we bought their live CD and had all five members autograph it. And it was really cool. Very nice guys. I met was talking to the keyboardist named Martin. Let's see here. Some of you music folks might know him. He's played a lot of gigs. He needs a Medicare attorney if anybody knows of a good Medicare coverage attorney, because they're claiming that he's not he's unlawfully in the U.S. and therefore is not entitled to Medicare. He's had a green card for 32 years, so makes no sense. Yeah, here it is. Martin Gershowitz.
Hey, Rick, you know one of the original members of Iron Butterfly, Philip Kramer?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with him. He actually invented Philip Taylor Kramer. He actually perfected perpetual motion, and then he disappeared. Somebody disappeared him.
He perfected perpetual motion, really?
Yes, yes. All you got to do is Google that.
Okay, what's the name again?
Philip Taylor Kramer and perpetual motion.
Taylor Kramer?
And rumor has it is the energy companies disappeared them because they would have just turned energy on its head,
Well, I have a client who has some technology he's going to have to market overseas because he's afraid of the U.S. oil companies scooping it up or suing
him. They're ruthless, man. They're ruthless.
Keeping them locked up in court.
You'll wind up with Jimmy Hoffa, man.
Can't all the alternative energy companies team up and break the backs of the oil companies?
You'd like to think so.
Like to think so. But there's an awful lot of money.
You know, the thing is, this client even has a bogus investigation of him, a criminal investigation of him, federal investigation,
which
really has no basis.
Yeah.
So
it serves to discredit him.
Yeah, right.
Or
right,
an attempt to.
That's the idea, exactly.
Yeah.
It was quite a weekend for me between the two concerts. The second concert, I was down at Dana Point, so we went swimming, did some body surfing for like maybe 2 hours and hung out in the sun and then showered off and just walked back to the car, grabbed a hat, and walked over to the concert venue. It was like all within walking distance. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that picture. I spent my time mowing this week.
Man. Oh, well, okay.
I need to get out to the beach, I guess.
There you go. Yes, you need to do that. You can't just be clearing brush all the time, right?
No, and there's plenty of brown. I had my tractor break down several times me yesterday.
Bummer.
Yeah. I'm frustrated like hell, but I got a river in my backyard. I just need to get the kayak out and throw it in the river and just go.
Yeah.
I keep bugging you, John, and I'm gonna keep after you.
There's just so much going on.
I love your river rant.
Thank you. It's back down now. It was up to about 14 feet the other day, but they closed the gates on the dam, and we're back down to about 8 foot. So that's about normal.
And what's the name of the river again?
It's the Nueces River.
Nueces, okay.
Yes, that's Indian word for nuts. We're all nuts. Yeah, that's how come I live in Nueces County.
Yeah.
A bunch of nuts. No, I'm just kidding. No, that is the Indian word for nuts.
Nuts as in crazy, or nuts as in there's a lot of hickory and pecans growing by
Take that whichever way you want to, Bob.
Yeah.
I'm sure we have examples of both. There is a lot of nuts down here. We grow a lot of pecans down here and other nuts. But, it's a beautiful valley. The river on my end below the dam is I call it the Muddy River because it's not really a clear river. But north of the dam and out a little towards West Texas, then yes, it's a beautiful river, crystal clear, but it's not mine.
I was always thrilled when I got to see, always thrilled, what does that even mean? I was tickled when I got to see the Brazos River, the Brazos.
Oh, yes. Because
I immediately thought of the beer that Hank Hill drinks from the, what is it, from the lukewarm waters of the Brazos River? Yeah. By the way, a couple of notes along the way. Rick, your challenge has been met. Thanks very, very kindly to
very good,
awesome.
Thanks very kindly to Gary. Thank you, Gary. Thank you very much. And so that means we've only got $25 left of Chris's challenge, and then $50 remaining on Gary and Gaia's. Lonely 13th of the month subscriber cough it up challenge. So that, please don't leave those laying on the table in the next 23 minutes of the program. There's a lot of goodwill that goes into these challenges from people who want the horn to continue and stay on the air. So thank you. Thank you very much indeed, Gary. And thanks to whoever comes along and finishes Chris's challenge and knocks out Gary and Gaia's challenge. A couple of other notes. Andy the Angry Jew, with a note says, Phil Lesh is no longer playing with them. And the piano player is Jeff Chimenti. Okay, talking about the dead.
Okay.
So, really? No more Lesh bass grate? No more bass grate Lesh filling? Damn. That was one of my favorite stickers at the... Let Phil sing. That was another great sign at dead shows I used to attend. And Ron and Raleigh, you'll be gratified to know John, and you can pass it along to Ms. Bell. Ron and Raleigh says Madeline Bell is one of my old favorites, and provides me a link to. Well, let me see if I can open this up so that we can let people know. Just how awesome she is.
That's great. That's great that somebody knew.
Well, Ron has a music library that will not quit, and a deep and encyclopedic knowledge.
Well,
so
see, my brothers. I have two brothers. They kid me all the time because when we were young, teenagers growing up, they were heavily into rock and roll. Moody Blues. I was pretty much into soul, rhythm and blues, Motown. I traveled a different path than they did. So her music just really hits mine.
Well, I tell you what, that being the case, let me highly recommend to you a documentary from 2 or 3 years back, John. This is where I come from. It's a documentary simply called Muscle Shoals.
Muscle Shoals.
And it documents the... The evolution and development of the Muscle Shoals sound, and the rise of the just earth-moving, earth-shattering soul that came up out of there and that then snowballed into everybody and their cousin wanting to come down and record in Muscle Shoals. And, of course, the genius behind it all, a fine gentleman by the name of Rick Hall, just passed away in the last few years. Uh-huh. He was on the program a year and a half, 2 years ago. And in fact, I've still got that conversation in the archives. That was a real treat to be able to interview him. But check out that documentary. It's a film.
I will.
And you will absolutely love it, John.
I will. We'll look it up.
I'll find a link for you, John, and put it on the your Discord channel.
Do that. I always have to go to my son. Hey, he said this. Find me that kind of stuff. Music is, it's the universal. We all have different tastes. Mine swings off. The only thing I don't like is opera. I don't get into that. But
well,
rap? You like rap, John?
Some of it. Some of it. I can get my foot going. I can. Yeah. It's anything that moves you. It can. I like a lot of Jimmy Buffett, Bob Marley, that kind of stuff. But I reach back into soul music. I think one of them. I remember he was a zebra outfit, I think, or something on he was wearing. But that song, I Stand Accused of Loving You, of course. I was trying to really rub that onto a girl that... I liked at that time. Hey, listen to this. This is,
Well, I got some Madeline Bell queued up here. Let's check her out real quick.
Put her on there. I love this.
Righteous.
You got a pretty boy. See, I could dance that.
There is some chair dancing going on in the Fabulous Horn studio right now, without a doubt.
You can definitely hear Aretha Franklin, she was influenced by her.
I don't know who was influenced by whom, because just doing the little bit of reading I did, she goes way back.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it humbled me so much what she wrote. She said that was the first fan letter that she has ever written, and it was to me. And that was, and I'm nobody, Bob. I'm nobody. I live at the end of a road down here, and I sit in my shed and I yak my jaw off.
Well, John, you mentioned being a bit of a Buffett fan. He's got a song called "Nobody from Nowhere," and I know exactly how you feel.
Yes, sir. I'm nobody.
Let me share something with you. My lovely daughter just sent this along, and I take this as proof that her mama and I raised her right.
There you go.
It begins as follows. The Bronx concedes, the Scots are the greatest cursers in the world. And there's a picture of Julius Geezer with the title above the meme, "Why We Love Scotland," and some of the epithets that the Scots have come up with to describe the Mango Menace. This will require my terrible, terrible Scottish accent. Butt plug face. Toupéed foot trumpet. Cockwomble. Mangled apricot hell beast.
Hell beast.
Witless fucking cock splat.
Ah, yeah, I recognize that one.
Incompressible jizz trumpet.
Appropriately descriptive.
Ignorant fuck muppet.
Oh, there you go. Nail on the head right there.
And then, for the win, tiny fingered cheeto faced ferret wearing shit gibbon.
That's him. That's him. Okay. I got a shirt sent to me from Claire Dines. She lives in Scotland. And on the front, it's a black shirt. And it says Trump. He's a ball bag. And we all know what a ball bag is.
Oh, same. Yep.
Yep, there you go. Same bag here. But, yes, sir, I was happy to see the reception they gave him over there.
They had to make sure that he didn't get to London.
Yeah.
And just keeping him out there where he can't see it. And is there no way to fly that dirigible over Blenheim Palace? I guess the RAF would shoot it down, wouldn't they?
I'd like to get it and fly it over the White House. Just let everybody know he's in there. And we need to fix that.
Well, we absolutely do. It's a...
If we
can't figure out by now that it is well past time, John, you're better at motivating. I'm the little ray of fucking sunshine. But if we can't figure it out by November,
got serious problems in this country that we need to address ourselves. That, I don't want to live in a country that would reelect that asshole. It's disgraceful enough that he's even in there the first time.
Did anyone catch the trolling from the Queen?
Yes, the blue dress in
the royal blue hat and gown.
And the pin that she wore was a gift from Obama.
Ooh.
Oh, just a little thing in your face there, Donnie. Did you see him?
We are not amused.
Asshole.
Yeah, but what? Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's just go ahead and get tacky. I rely on the lovely Agnes.
Hello, Bob. I'm down there waiting on him, buddy.
Okay, good enough. I rely on the lovely Agnes for this. Because we were watching the footage of her him and his wife, the first lady in the history of the United States ever to remove her clothing for strangers in exchange for money, taking that long walk up to meet Theresa May. And my lovely spouse, Agnes, just looked at me and said, "What in the ever-loving fuck is that woman wearing?" that banana dress? Did you see the banana dress?
Them women pay attention to that stuff. My wife was on about him walking around without that buttoned-up coat, hanging his arms down, looked like a slouch. My wife was on to him about his
clothes. Oh, yeah, well, he looks like a orangutan.
Yes, he does. My wife, can he stand up straight, so, button his coat?
So what did they make Melanoma's dress out of? A White House curtain or what?
Well, I don't know, but I looked at her and I said, well, that capey-looking thing is for when she draws her arm up to go suck somebody's blood.
Oh, there you go.
I think Carol Burnett wore it better.
Jesus, people. And she's got access to the greatest fashion designers on Earth who are the best.
On Earth. The best. Yeah, that's what she meant
and,
by
and,
her
and they, and they send her to England in a banana dress? I mean, why not just go all the way and wear the fucking Carmen Miranda hat with the fruit salad?
And the peel as well.
Well, heck, you're going to go there, wear Lady Gaga's meat dress.
There you go.
Well, that would actually, Megan, that would actually be far more appropriate.
Well, let's all be thankful that nowadays she's wearing dresses. So.
Well, see, wait. Yeah, because I used to. Hey, at least she's wearing clothes.
That's right. That's right. We have to give her credit for that. She has moved up now. She no longer sells her body for money.
She's wearing Comey. She's wearing Comey camouflage so that she can, you know, blend into the walls there at the White House.
You see nothing. You see nothing.
You can't see me.
Oh, and by the way, by the way, we've got a couple of observations coming via Steve in New York. My understanding is that the balloon flew in the town where Windsor Castle is. Ah. And just as when the Queen is in residence, the Royal Standard flies over the building, we should have that blimp fly whenever he's in any building.
That's what I think.
I was just thinking that today.
And then finally,
anytime he's in the White House, that should be flying right over the building.
Yep. And then finally, on another note, the Queen is actually, Steve says, from what subjects of the Crown whom I know tell me, very good at subtle snark. She really has a sense of humor. So, yeah. Hence the Obama pin and the... Yeah. Jesus, that man.
In the blue dress. There you go.
You know what? When you can manifest snark like that at what? 92? 94?
You're doing pretty good. You're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You're staying on your toes. And you know she don't like him. She don't want him in her house.
Oh, hell no.
92.
Ain't nobody wants him there. But he's doing the same thing all over the world that he's doing right here. It's called conquer and divide. Piss everybody off. Let's, you know, break this up. And, oh, by the way, here's our new friend, Vladimir. That's it. He's just trying to, you know, divide and conquer. That's it, Donnie.
You know, you get the have you wondered if maybe the reason Melanoma decided to go on this trip is because no way is she going to turn Tiny Fingers loose in Russia around Pooty and have to put up with more hooker stories?
No more pee-pee tape, Donnie. No
going
more pee-pee tapes.
We have the finest prostitutes here in Russia.
They're going to Finland, Bob.
Well, I know they're going to Finland, but still.
That's close to Russia there, Sparky.
Close enough.
Right across the border there.
You think Vladimir Putin cannot bring hookers with him? He has access to the most beautiful hookers on
Hilga,
Earth.
Don't you? Look,
if Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania are preparing for invasion, I'm pretty sure Finland's kind of got their ears perked up, too.
Nah, Finland's not preparing. Finland's just saying, we'll kick their fucking ass like we did the last time. Yeah, come on, pissheads.
They already beat the Russians once.
You want some more? You want some more, Vladdy? Aye, Vladdy.
Please,
to do the
Donald,
cheese.
No hooky-hooky when you see Vladdy.
I'm telling you, ain't it sad?
Donald, have you emptied bladder yet? Good.
Good. Hold it. Donnie, be sooner soon.
Jesus. Did any of us ever think this would be our 2018?
No. I didn't think it would be any year in our lifetime, in our history. You know.
And again, I'm sorry. You're absolutely right, John. We got to build the momentum. Because I'll say on the back end of that,
world are we going to be living in?
Well, the world you're going to be living in is two-term Trump.
Yeah, yeah, or more.
Fortunately, I found out my dog is a really good hunter. Somehow he got off the chain this morning and ended the universe for about a half a dozen chickens down the road.
Oh no.
I'm a short $100, Bob. I can't donate to the program.
Daggummit, Little Thunder. All right, well, somebody needs to jump it because Laurel just said, you know, he would if he could, but he can't, thanks to Little Thunder. So anybody want to take up Little Thunder's slack and knock out the last 75 bucks of fundraising, that'd be great. I'm sorry,
Laurel.
Yeah.
Laurel. Can you get a hold of one of them dead chickens?
Oh, they were processing them while I came in. I'm sure they, you know, probably give me a piece with one of the big old chop marks in it.
No, you want to.
Benefit barbecue any day now.
You want a freshly killed chicken that's still going, and you tie the chicken around the dog's neck, and they'll never attack another chicken again.
I did that to
my German Shepherd back in 76. She carried that thing around about 2 weeks, and she never getting fucked with them chickens again.
Because
we let them out and run around the big place we had. I lived in a little commune type thing.
Like, I just gave him a bath.
We had chickens and turkeys and rabbits.
I used to have a lot of chickens, and I do miss my chickens. We had a bad raccoon problem here for a while, and had to, you know, they just one by one went by way of the river. But I do have a friend of mine who, Deborah, who lives in town, and she keeps chickens, and she delivers eggs out to us, so I still eat fresh ones.
Well, here's the thing. After the great agricultural collapse that's going to come after our ice cap goes away on a permanent basis, I'm going to need him to hunt the rabbits and squirrels and stuff.
That's it.
I can't shoot straight to save my soul.
Maybe you should take up archery, Laurel.
Yeah.
Glad I got a river in my backyard. Fish is good. It's good for you, too.
Oh, I got a...
What's he up to?
Well, he'll be down here in a couple of weeks, hopefully. But my stepson was here for a few days. A buddy brought him down in a real nice car, so they couldn't bring the dog. So he stayed up. Grady stayed back home with Brian's wife. She called and goes, oh, he's got a thing in his ear. And she had to go run up to Klamath Falls to go to the vet with him because he had a thorn or something, or maybe a foxtail in his ear, and he jabbed himself in the eye with something.
Oh, Lord.
Ow.
So I hope you
that.
All right, so,
I have a quick
DJ correction update. These things are important. You know, we try to correct our mistakes here when we make them, which does happen. Michael in Madison, who says, my head is too full of this stuff. I understand. Believe me, I do. Michael says, I would be remiss not to remind you that Nobody from Nowhere is actually a Will Kimbrough, Tommy Womack song, and it absolutely is, and first appeared on their band Daddy's 2009 album For a Second Time, several months before Buffett Hotel was released.
All
so,
right.
Original credit does go to Will Kimbrough, who's been on this program, by the way, and
Tommy
Womack. And if you've never listened to Will Kimbrough, you owe yourself that, too. That's good stuff, John, and I think it would probably appeal to you.
Dadgummit,
we've come up at 2 minutes before the hour, so we're done because I've got to knock off early because, the Malloy show will come around in about an hour, and I hope you'll all join me there, and I hope as well that please remember if you're going to listen to Malloy, you got to listen on Progressive Voices. We're all hooked up, we're connected, we're ready to rock and roll. And it's always fun to see how the truth seekers light up the trending list over at TuneIn Radio. So remember, Progressive Voices in about an hour for the Malloy program. And thanks to everybody participating in the program this evening. Let me take just a quick second and jump in and say, hey, Irwin, we didn't hear from you, buddy. Anything, bee under your bonnet, burr under your saddle? You want to get out of the way real quick?
I've been muted. I just got a bird, and he's been really chirping, so I've been afraid to unmute for tonight. The only thing I had to say was that I wish all the Democrats were like the Congressional Black Caucus, and a little more feisty than what a lot of them are. That's the only thing I have to add.
10-4 on that.
Absolutely.
I want to hear it loud. I want to hear it very loud.
Well, yep. we're gonna keep the group going, but while Bob signs off.
Okay, good deal. And thank you, Sparky, for moderating early this evening, getting us going early. I really appreciate it. Thanks to Clarity for jumping in this evening. Thanks to Irwin. Thanks to Laurel. Thank you, Megan and Billable Rick, and of course Sparky and Steve from Georgia Stan. By the way, if they offer you the new Skype update, for Christ's sakes, don't take it. It's a pain in the ass. And thank you very kindly to John Britovo for wandering in for another Friday on the front porch. I do enjoy his rants so very, very much, and you should check him out. Check him out on YouTube and check him out on Facebook. If you're not a friend of his already, you should be. You should be. So we will wrap up with $75 remaining in challenges on the table. And that means we wrap up $150 plus $65 short for the week. So that's $215. That's one day short on the week. Maybe somebody in the overnight crew will take care of that, or somebody here in the next few minutes. That would be awesome, so that we don't have a $415 fundraising goal come more in Monday. Okie doke. The PayPal button's over at headon.live if you want to help out that way. Subscribers at Patreon are more than welcome. I gotta get John to teach me about this Discord stuff and work my courage up to do video. That's the lurch noise. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live, who says my Scottish accent is almost as terrible as my Russian one. I didn't know that it was anything near as terrible as my Russian accent. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Thanks very kindly to all of you who do support this program and do keep this program on the air. It is entirely a community-driven effort. Thank you very kindly to Gary for the challenge, to Darlene for the challenge, to Chris in Germany for the challenge. Thank you very kindly to Tom in the Bay Area. Thank you to Gary for responding to the challenge. Thank you to Billable Rick for his challenge. And thanks to all of you who participate in the program in whatever manner you do and share your precious finite time engaging in this conversation that's been going on now for so very, very long. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.